Father, thank you that we can meet today. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity we have to show people that are here who you are by how we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the summer, I get to speak every week normally, except for junior camps. And I'm going to do a series all summer on kingdom confusion. Just kingdom confusion. If you study the Bible at all, you realize that God talks about the kingdom of God. And he talks about it in terms of the kingdom of God is like. You know, he says it's like a treasure found in the field. It's, you know, he gives us examples. And what's really interesting is how confused we are about what that means. And I'm not really going to go to those passages very much, but I do want to talk about the confusion that exists and what we should do, hopefully, to stop the confusion. I'm going to start by a song by Elton John. I'm not going to sing it, but I just want to show you just confusion about God. Here's somebody writing about God. And the lyrics aren't by Elton, but he sings it. Dear God, are you there? Can you hear me? Do you care? Dear God, here are we, less than perfect, far from free. Oh, we take what we get, and we don't take no more. I'm sure that's good English. But we sometimes forget what it was you created us for. Now, that's interesting language from Elton John. Now, if you know Elton John, his lifestyle, and he's singing this, I'm thinking, you're a confused man. Because your lifestyle and your words don't even come close. And yet he goes on, dear God, now's the time. If you're listening, show some sign. Dear God, hear me plead. Don't desert me. Don't desert us in our need. You know, is there a difference between God being about us or us being about him? I mean, what Elton's going to do in this song is basically talk about a God that he wants to be about him. No, it's God, you're my sugar daddy in the sky. Where are you when I ask for the pie? You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. God, you're... See, God becomes this celestial genie for us. And the problem is that we begin to believe that. And we believe it because people have said, you know, if you're the only one in the world that sinned, Jesus would die for you. I haven't found that verse yet. It may be true, by the way. I just haven't found the verse. So what we do is we grow up believing that we are so important that the world might not function without us. And then when God doesn't satisfy what we ask, we think he doesn't even exist or he doesn't love or something else. It's interesting. Were we created for him or for us? I mean, when we were created, why were we created? Those are important things to ask. He goes on, dear God, lend a hand, which shows what he thinks about God. He's not sure. I'm not going to that. Is this really what you planned? Dear God, if you we trust, though we failed you, don't fail us. I'm going to do the course again. I hope and pray you'll lead us to a brighter day. Out of darkness and light up our way. Dear God, I hope and pray you'll lead us to a better way. What does he mean by that? What better way? Better way for him? Better way for the universe? Better way for the people, the world? See, the problem with language a lot of times is it means whatever we want it to mean. But it may not mean anything in particular that it should mean. Light up our way, dear God. Love is the answer, so light up our way, dear God. Love is the answer. What does he mean by that? In Matthew 9, it says, as they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him, to Jesus. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, never was anything like this seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Talking about confusion. Jesus casts out a demon, and the religious people around there say, he's Satan. Who was Jesus? He was God. He is God. They're confused. Who is this guy? See, the basic confusion in all of history is that, who is this guy? Who is Jesus? Is he really who he said he is? If he is, then we should change everything about our lives. Do you know that the Bible says it's harder for a rich man to enter heaven than to go through an eye of the needle or whatever that says? Why? Do you know that America, the poverty class, right above poverty, is the richest 2% in the world? Americans have a hard time understanding God and understanding the Bible. We are a rich people that are busy doing other things besides learning about God. And Satan has used our comfort and our wealth to keep us from the very important things in life that we ought to be about. Here the Pharisees are confused. They are absolutely confused as to what is going on at this point. I want to tell you a story out of John 5. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, an Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. This guy has been laying at the pool for 38 years, we think. He's been an invalid for 38 years. We're assuming he's been laying at the pool most of it. If you know anything about it, they would lay at the pool, and when the waters were stirred, they had some movement in, and tradition would be that they would get better. So they tried to do something to get better, supposedly. But 38 years, can you believe there's a guy, 38 years, he hasn't found anybody to move him in the water? I mean, are you buying this? 38 years, he couldn't find somebody to help him. Not once. Why did Jesus pick this guy? See, I'm confused a little bit about why he picked him. 38 years, he stood there. 38 years, he's by himself. 38 years, he didn't get help. Jesus looks at him. He was blind, the lame, and paralyzed. One man, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" What kind of question is that? If you had, if someone came to me in my narcolepsy that I have and said, "Do you want to be healed?" I'd say yes immediately. Of course I do. I don't want to stay this way. The question is very interesting. Do you want to be healed? You know, when I look at you guys, in your lives, in all of your lives, there are things in your life that are not right. There are things in your life that you feel victimized. There are things in your life that you don't think you can ever... See, the question I have for you is, do you really want to be healed? Or do you want to stay sick? You see, Jesus had the power to heal this guy now. But he asked him this question first. And I think it's a question most of us, when we read the Bible, we fly right through because it's just part of the story. But I think Jesus was making a point here. 38 years of living a certain way, 38 years of being sick, 38 years of laying at the side of the pool. You know, what do you know as somebody who is sick for 38 years laying by a pool? You know how to be sick. Those are your friends. Other people get stuff for you. You know how to work the system. So you know that life. Do you really want a different life? Do you really want a life that you don't know? Do you really want a life where you have to go do something different? Do you really want a life where you have to take care of yourself? Do you really want that? Or do you want to stay sick? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." That's interesting. This guy comes out. You know, there's really two types of people in the world. Winners and losers. The Blackhawks are losers. Well, that's not bad. They're high on the list of losers. But they're still losers. You know? That's the way it goes. When people go to the Olympics, I know people go to the Olympics, they're going for gold. When they're second place, they lost. You say, "Oh, yeah, but it's second place." I understand that. And I'm not even close to second place. And it's yay them and all that stuff. But you know, there's not one Olympic athlete that got gold, that got silver, that didn't want gold. And you think they're satisfied with silver? They're not. Why? Because it's not the winner. There's one winner, the gold. Everybody else is losers in order. Now, we may not like that word, and it may sound real harsh, but the truth of the matter is that's the way it is. There's a winner, and there's losers. And guess what? It's easier to lose. It's easier to think you have no choices. It's easier to get used to losing. It is easier to lose than to win. And so we set our lives up to stay losers. We look for reasons to stay losing. We don't even look for reasons to win. We don't look for ways to change. You know, I can't do it. I've gained too much weight. I don't know what to do. We look for reason. My metabolism is really slow. I understand. What's interesting is that in this story, we understand, we see very clearly that there's winners, there's losers. The winners are the ones that say, I want to change, I will embrace the things that will cause change. There's no doubt this guy did not put out a huge effort for 38 years. He did not make an effort for 38 years, which is interesting why Jesus picked him. But it's not too weird of a question then if after 38 years, honestly, if you came to me and said, you know, for the last 10 years, this has really bugged me. One of my first questions to you might be, do you want to get better? I mean, 10 years you've been doing this? Yeah, and I've tried. And I'd look at you, you haven't tried. I mean, really. You want to do something different? You can do something different. It's interesting. Jesus said to him, get up and take up your bed and walk. Some of us think, you know, there's a sort of right thing too. No, there's right and there's wrong. There's not kind of right, sort of right, almost right. There's not almost one, kind of one, sort of one. That's not how it works. And what's really cool is God made it so all of us can win. And all of us can be right. He didn't make it so that only some can. It's not like an athletic event. At the end of this life, and that's why we cheer each other on, because at the end of this life, you can be a winner. And I can be a winner. And you can be a winner. See, we can cheer each other on that way. It's not like there's one winner. It's like we can all be the winner. There's so many people that look in life for reasons to stay the same, and they look why they cannot do something different. And if you've been in that habit, I want to encourage you to think about it throughout this day and say, I can do something different than I'm doing today. See, you're in the habit of thinking, I have no choices, I'm going to stay this way, I will never be okay, I will never be better. You will stay that way then. There's others I see, and I love them. I love this attitude when they look at a project, and it's not, you know, why can't I do it? It's, why can I do this? You know, how can I do this? I love dreaming. Jake does syrup, you know, that kind of thing. And I remember when I wasn't doing it, and I said, hey, you know what? I did syrup. Why don't you drill holes in trees, and you do this. How are you doing? Now, what I watched was Jake going, I haven't done that before, but his mind went to, how can I do that? Not, oh yeah, you know what? I don't have a drill. I don't have a drill. I don't have any maple trees. I don't have any way to collect sap. I mean, he could have filled me with 1,000 reasons why he couldn't do this. And any of them could stop him. Instead, he looked for the reasons he could. And now he's producing, if you want syrup, by the way, he's got a bunch to sell. Why? Because he's producing a lot of it. Because he looked for a way to do it instead of ways not to do it. See, that's how life is. People look at marriage as a, you know, oh, it's too much work, whatever. No, you look for ways to make it a good marriage. You look for ways to see, what you do in life is you look for ways to make it happen, not why you can't. It's interesting, in the fifth chapter, it keeps going, and once the man was healed, he took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. And it's not lawful for you to take up your bed. This is funny. So the religious guys look at this guy and go, what are you doing? No, not, oh boy, you got healed. Oh, that's cool. 38 years. No, what are you carrying that mat for? Not one congratulations yet. This guy's breaking a religious rule. So you said the man who had been healed, It is the Sabbath, and it is unlawful for you to take your bed. Unlawful for you to take your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man, said to me, take up your bed and walk. And he said, who is the man who said this to you? Take up your bed and walk. Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in his place. So these guys are ticked. Who healed you on the Sabbath and told you to pick up your mat? Now, is there some confusion here as to who God is with these guys? Is there confusion as to what the Sabbath is really about? Yes, to all those questions. They are confused. They have set up a system of loopholes and laws and regulations. Do you know that there's actually people that study the Bible that don't know God? Do you know that you can get in the habit of knowing the Bible and knowing doctrine but not know God? Do you know that? It doesn't do you any good, really, to study the Bible and know the Bible and not know God. What good does that do for you? It makes you a Pharisee. It makes you a rule person. It makes you somebody who doesn't get the picture. The purpose of the Bible is so that we can know God and we can love God. The fruit of loving God is loving people. If you just know rules, you don't love people. I mean, look at these guys. How dare you get healed on the Sabbath and carry your mat? Did they care about this guy? They cared about the rule. God cared about the person. You know, before this, I believe, I'm doing this by memory, so hopefully it's there, Jesus talked to the woman at the well. He cared about the person. No one else would talk to this scummy woman. She's a woman. She's a Samaritan. She's at a well. All their rules said, back off. And Jesus said, draw me some water. Whoa, he broke all the rules. Did he break all the rules? Or did he actually know the heart of God? Where other people just knew the scriptures, but they didn't know God. So they were ticked. The man went away, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. So let's go get this guy who's, this Jesus. Let's go take care of him because he's healing people on the Sabbath. How dare him? You have to look at the story with almost, are you kidding me? What do these people really know? But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Get that line. This is why they wanted to kill him. They were confused, as many people today are. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, that was one reason they wanted to kill him, but he was even calling God his own Father, which was true, by the way. So he's saying truth. They want to kill him. He's healing people on the Sabbath. They want to kill him. And making himself equal with God, which he was. Let's kill him. You see, when you're confused, you don't get it. And what happens is you get mob rule. In other words, you do your best to have people follow you out of fear, out of they think they're going to miss out, whatever it might be. But see, when you love people, when you love God, they follow you because you love God and you love them. It's interesting. Many people do not really wish to get well. For one or other reason, the payoff for being sick has more benefit to them. So they choose disease over wellness. Went to a psychological site to just ask the question, why do people want to stay sick? And you know what? It is absolutely a huge phenomenon. People want to stay sick. They want to stay the way they are. How do we know that? Because there's so many problems that are so easy to fix. And they can't fix them. Well, why can't they? Because they don't want to. See, it goes back to the question that Jesus asked, do you want to get well? You know, if you wanted to be an Olympic athlete, I could say, do you want to be an Olympic? Yes, I do. Well, then here, you need to work out, I don't want to do that. Then you don't want to be an Olympic athlete. Oh, yes, I do. Desperate. No, you don't. Why? Because if you wanted to, you would adjust your life so that you would be ready to be an Olympic athlete. But if you don't want to do that, then you do not want to be an Olympic athlete. Oh, you don't understand, I really do. See, what we've done in our mind is we've tried to work through, and we're sick in this way, the mutually exclusive ideas. I want to be an Olympic athlete, but I want to sit on the couch and eat ice cream most of the time and just go to the Olympics and win. Mutually exclusive. That's not going to happen. You can't do both of those things. You can't just sit around and eat ice cream and then go win a gold medal at the 100-yard dash. You know, that's not going to work. Instead, you have to watch your diet and then go exercise, that kind of thing. Yeah, but that's not what I want. It doesn't matter in that case. What it is telling you about what you actually believe. You know, there's too many people in this world, regardless of the illness they have adjusted their lives so to stay sick that they do not want to get better. In your life, the stuff in your head where you're saying, you know what, I'll never get over this, I'll never be okay here. You know, the truth of the matter is that's satanic talk. It's like, I can do nothing to change this. Oh, that's baloney. What it is you don't want to do anything to change that. That's different. Let me take a look. I just want to go through a little bit with you about five different reasons why people either, you know, will not want to change. Number one is they identify with their sickness. Just this crippled guy at the pool. You know what I mean? It's like, this is who I am, man. I am a crippled person lying at the pool. This is my community of believers, if you want to call it that. This is my friends. This is how I've learned to live. It's amazing to me how many young ladies grow up in a home where they have been abused somehow. Or they've seen abuse. And they marry an abuser. And you sit there and go, what did you learn? See, what they learned was a lifestyle. It's easier to marry somebody who's just like home because that's how you live and you know how to do that than to get out in a healthy environment that you don't know anything about. Wow. So there are people that actually do that? Yes. And that would be an interesting study for you. But it's very clear that if you watch something while you grew up, some abuse situation, the chances of you being in that when you marry yourself is very high. Because you don't really want to change that. You don't want to do anything to change it. This guy, 38 years in a pool, man, at the side of the pool, God had to pick him out. Now, what's really cool about that illustration, that story, is a lot of us think that, boy, if I had more faith, God would heal me. How much faith did this guy have? Zero. Why did God heal him? I don't know. There were times where Jesus walked through a crowd. He could walk through a cloud, but he walked through a crowd and people got healed. There were times where he said, it's your faith that heals you. But this is one of those weird instances where this guy wasn't asking for help. He probably didn't even believe in Jesus as God. But God showed up. Could it be that God knew that he would respond and he went to meet him? Even before he was ready to respond? Could be. I don't know. Bible doesn't say it. Just he picked this guy. The bottom line is, he identified with his sickness, not with the answers, but with all the reasons that kept him sick. The second thing. Being healthy means being alone. A lot of times we don't want that, so we don't want to be healthy. Believe it or not, if somebody comes to you and says, how are you doing? You go, great, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm not going to unload all my baggage on you, right? Why? Because actually I've dealt with the things I need to. I'm actually feeling pretty good and the best thing, you know. You're kind of boring. Did they ever make a movie about it like a normal guy who never got into trouble and never did anything spectacular? I mean, have a camera follow me around for a day. It won't sell. You know? So I said, what you doing now? Reading a book. You know, what's he doing now? Cutting the lawn. What about now? Watering the plants. What's he doing now? He's running the cross trainers at church and getting ready for club. Oh, what's he doing now? You know, he's shopping at Walmart. Do you realize that people who do things right aren't necessarily spectacular in what they do? Who wants to be that kind of person? There'll never be a movie. Look at all the hours and hours and hours of movies you've had of spectacular. And you can't help but begin to think your life's a bore. It's not. You see, actually, in Matthew 7, Jesus said in the 14th verse, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life." In other words, it's a narrow gate, it's a narrow road. There aren't that many there. If you choose to do that, you're not going to be with the crowd. So some people want to stay the way they are because it means separating from a majority of people. They don't want that. The third reason, some people do not believe that change and therefore healing is really possible. Some people actually in their lives think, you know what? There is no possible way really for me to get better, so I'm just going to stay this way and I didn't work at it. Like this guy at the side. They don't even think they can think differently. They don't think so. They haven't realized why they got to where they think like they do, but they don't think they can think differently. In Matthew 4, Jesus said, he began to preach saying, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think differently than you think now. There is no possible way. If you're struggling with something spiritual, you're struggling with something in life, there is no possible way for you to get better if you don't think differently. None. So if you're going to think the same, you're going to stay the same. It's the way it is. Luke 18, or number 4. I'm hurrying. The rich ruler. Some see themselves as victims rather than masters of their fate. The rich ruler. Remember him? He went and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. You know the commandments. Not commit adultery, blah, 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 blah. He says all that. Then he says, one thing you lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. Wait a minute. You're talking to a rich ruler? You're telling him to sell everything? Yeah. You know why he doesn't want to do that? Because he's a rich ruler. He's got lots of stuff. You know what's interesting about that is he sees himself as victim in a way to the richness. I would have to give up my richness and therefore I'm a victim to it. I have to serve it. I have to. He walked away sad. He rejected Jesus for this. The answer that he needed, he could not get. He rejected him. Why? Because of what he had. You know, there's some of us, again, we have something in our lives. We're rejecting God because of what we have. It's one of those things. It's, you know, I've always been this way. My family has always been like this. My great-grandma always believed this. See, what we do is we're victims of whatever somebody else did. We're victims of being rich. We're victims of tradition. We're victims in a way. And so we can't help it. Certainly we're going to find God. He's going to go, you can't help it. Really? Fifth. They cannot do the things on their own. They need a support of someone else. People don't change sometimes because basically they really love the idea of being sick because it forces others who care for them to be around them. Now, you see, if I care for you and you're sick, I need to continually be around you. And you start liking that. Because if you got well, I would say, I don't need to be around you. Now, I grew up as a good kid, honestly. I not because I'm a good kid, but because my personality is compliant. So I have a compliant personality. Which means my dad told me something, I did it. My mom told me something, I did it. School teacher told me something, I did it. I mean, I just did it. Doctor tells me something, now I do it. Like, compliant. So, you know what? I was the ignored kid. You know why? Because the kids throwing darts at the teacher got all the attention. The kids that would beat up somebody on the playground got tons of attention. The kids who walked in on crutches got tons of attention. But kids like me, when I was normal and everything was all right, I was ignored. I wanted to go punch somebody to get some attention. You see, what happens after a while is you get used to the attention that comes from being sick. And so you stay that way. Because you're afraid that once you get better, they're not going to be there anymore for you. Can you imagine this guy at the side of the pool? Once I get better, all these people I've become, you know, he's emotionally attached to these people. The people that come and feed him, all these people. I'm not going to have them in my life. Why would they help him anymore the way they were helping him if he can walk? So he doesn't want to get better. Not a good reason. I have the same question for you. Do you want to be healed? I mean, that's the question for this morning. Now you say, I don't know if I'm sick. Well, you know what? In each of your lives, some of you might be saying, I really don't love God like I should. I have this habit I keep getting. Okay, you know it's wrong. Do you want to be healed? What's stopping you? And that's what you have to deal with. Oh, you can come up with every excuse. You can stay that way. You say, God made me this way. This way I am. It's my personal, whatever you want. I just went through them all. You can do that. And I can't go through them all because we're very limited on time. But you see, the truth of the matter is that if you really encounter Jesus, if you really do, you're out of excuses. Because Jesus is in the healing business. And when you encounter him, if you really want to be healed when you encounter him, he's the guy that can do it. And which leads me to a conclusion. Number one, you don't know God, or you don't understand this, or you're not even a believer, or, I mean, I don't know what the answers are. But the truth of the matter is nobody has to stay the way they are. In fact, you shouldn't be staying the way you are. The whole thing about Christianity is growth, and the growth thing means change thing. So the whole thing about Christianity is change. And you need to understand that. And if you're not going to do that, then you're going to stay sick. And if you're going to stay sick, don't come to God one day and say, you know what, I was a victim of all this stuff, I couldn't do anything. Because I'm afraid you're going to find God say, you know what, I actually made provision for you, but you didn't take it, you didn't want it, you didn't do anything for it. You say, so it's all my effort. No, actually in this case, how much effort was it for this guy? Zero, pretty much. It's really still God's effort. It's you responding to him. Remember what God did? He didn't just force him. He asked the question first. Do you want to get well? I don't know what went on in that guy's head when he asked that question. I don't know. Because the Bible just goes on from there. But I would bet you, just knowing humans, that his head was going, And that somehow the answer was eventually yes. I do. Pick up your mat. And that's what we have to understand. If God came to you right now in that deep, dark, secret sin of yours or whatever might be this thing that troubles you or what, and says, do you really want to get better? The first step is saying, yeah, I do. And then being in the presence of Jesus who can actually do it. I don't know the psychology stuff that'll help you because it won't. I don't know. All I know is this. Personal responsibility is very important. You need to own where you're at and let Jesus take you where you could be. That's what you need to do. And if you're not going to do that, then you're going to stay where you're at. And if you stay where you're at, don't blame God. Don't blame others. That's your choice. Stay by the pool the rest of your life. But God didn't make you to stay by the pool. He made you to run. Father, thanks again for time that we could spend this morning. And I pray that your Spirit will work in each of our hearts and help us understand the things that really we must understand if we are to be healthy believers, followers of Christ. I pray that your Spirit will work in a mighty way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You said tonight is ultimate if the weather's nice. And it might be ultimately fun in the rain. So at supper, see one of the staff directors and they will let you know, right? Cool. Have a good work day. See you.